Luke chapter 2, if you would. Luke chapter 2. We'll look at this tremendous story that Rick just sang of and that we read so often this time of year. And of course, Luke gives us the greatest detail of what happened as Jesus was born. And we become so familiar with it that we just read right over it. And it means, sometimes means less and less to us each year. And I don't think that it ought to be that way. I think that we ought to learn so much. And as I challenged you in Sunday school, let's really engage and learn as much as we can as you read through the Christmas story this Christmas season. I want to bring our attention to a few verses in Luke chapter 2 that are two verses that we read over and over and over again. The children get up and in Christmas programs they say these lines and people smile, and I don't know that we really think through them a whole lot. And so I want to look at a couple of words that are very important. Of course, the words that as you see, and I've already told you, the title is Fear Not. Fear Not. Why was the message given to the shepherds to fear not? You know, we think in our lives that there are many things that we become afraid of. Some people in our world are afraid of dying. I'm thankful that I'm not afraid of that because I know where I'm going to go when I die. And in fact, I eagerly await that. I look forward to that. What will happen when I move on. And it's something that we don't need to be afraid of. But you know, there are some people that are afraid of death. Afraid of the future, afraid of what's going to happen, afraid of, in their minds, the unknown. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, we don't know all the details, but it is known of what's going to happen. And when we die, we'll be with Him face to face. And our lives will be changed. One day, we are going to receive a new body. When the rapture takes place, we'll receive a new body, and we will be there to be with Him forever and ever and ever. We do know what's going to happen. We're not going to float into nothing. We're not going to you know what? So many answers are given in the Scriptures, and so we do know that. We don't need to be afraid of death. Many people are afraid of financial ruin, you know, not having enough money to pay their bills the next month. Some people are very fearful of physical things that will come, and you hear of news about how somebody had a heart attack or whatever, and some people live in fear that at any time their heart, the engine inside of them could stop. And to tell you the truth, if I think about it long enough, I can be afraid of that too. But folks, God doesn't want us to be afraid of these things. Some people are afraid of relationships and what could happen to a loved one, and if they don't come back to the Lord, or if they don't ever get right, or what would happen if, you know, at work the next day when this topic will be brought up. Isn't it true that we live our lives sometimes in fear? The fear of the unknown, the fear of the known, the fear of the unexpected or the expected. Many of us are afraid of something. When I was young, I think I've told you this before, one of my biggest fears was the dark. I was a young person that was scared of the dark. I can't tell you, it's my favorite place to be at till still to this day. I don't get a big kick. I enjoy hunting, but I do not enjoy going out early in the morning. I still do it. You say, you're crazy. I know. I still will go out in the middle of the woods somewhere and try to find my way to that tree that I've picked out. But I don't like it one bit. I don't like going out in the dark. You know, I don't know what's going to happen or what's there. So I've never came accustomed to just enjoying the dark. But when I was little, I was just tremendously scared. In fact, my parents had their routine, you know, before bed, and they would go do this and do that, and I would hear, and I just lived to hear that, to keep hearing noise. I didn't like being in the dark, and I just hoped that they would stay up longer. You know, it'd be the best night of my life if my parents were up all night, and that didn't happen, but I didn't want that last light switch to go out. Now I was there, in my mind, all alone. And I had something to be afraid of. I remember dreaming dreams of bears walking through our living room. And I mean, my mind went wild in the night. And I had lots of reason in my mind to be afraid. I was scared. I was scared of the dark. Now, you might laugh at that and say, there's nothing to be scared of the dark. And we all each have our own things that we're fearful of. Scared of something that will take place. scared of what could happen, scared of what probably will happen. Luke chapter 2, I want you to see in verse 10. Okay. Of course, we have the context is the shepherds in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And that's verse 8. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flocks by night. So there they are, they're in the night, and they're watching their flocks. They probably aren't afraid of the night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And what was the result? They were so afraid. Now, this is kind of the opposite for me. I looked for the light, okay? I looked for the light. Here, the shepherds get the light, and the angels come, and they get afraid. They're scared. Of course, we understand that they weren't afraid of light, but this was an odd thing that would happen on this quiet night there in the wilderness, where the sheep, you know, probably on the eastern side of Jerusalem there, as they watched the sheep, as they would take good care of these sheep. And there they are, watching these sheep, and it's supposed to be dark. They were comfortable with this setting, and then all of a sudden, there was this, the light. And of course, the message of the angels says, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And so all of a sudden, this light, this glory, this majesty, and the result is that they were afraid. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them. Now, so this is the angel, of course, this is the angel of the Lord coming to them and giving them a message concerning their fear. Now, in the immediate context, the fear of what? The fear of the event of what was taking place, right? This is very specific to these angels. And what was, or excuse me, these shepherds. And what was the angel's words? Fear not. Fear not. For, and here's the reason why, the main message was, fear not. Shepherds, don't be afraid. Fear not. That was the main message. Here's why. Fear not, for, or because, behold, listen to this, look at this. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There was the reason why these shepherds did not need to be afraid. When we look at the word fear, fear not, that's given to us here, this word fear is no hidden meaning. There's nothing that I'm going to pronounce to you right now that is different than what you thought. To fear not is to be afraid. Don't be afraid. Or one put it this way, to be seized with alarm. The message of the angel of the Lord to this group of afraid people was, don't be alarmed. Don't be seized with what is taking place here. Don't let it stop you and keep you from doing what you're doing. No, don't let it alarm you. Don't be afraid. That was the message, angels, or excuse me, shepherds, don't be afraid. I want to look at a few things about this phrase and the following phrases that are given here by the angels to these shepherds. As we identify certain things in our lives, and as I look across the congregation, I see many different people. A diversity of people. People, maybe you're in the middle of decisions, tough decisions. Maybe you're in the middle of health issues. Maybe financial issues. Maybe social interaction at work. Probably things that each one of you are afraid of. First of all, I want you to see reasons why not to be afraid. Number one, that is the answer has been birthed. The answer has been birthed. What was the message? He says, the angel, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born. For unto you is born. And so the angel is given this message. Why not be afraid? Because there's going to be good tidings to all people. I want you to know that today, what was going to take place today? Jesus would be born. That word born is a good word that we need to look at. The word born is to bring forth, to produce, to be brought to life. He's basically saying, an answer to your fear has come, and it's coming today. You don't need to be afraid. The answer is birthed. You know, when we go through struggles and don't have the answer, it is a miserable thing. But can I tell you today that the answer is already born? The answer is already arrived. God always has an answer. Take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. We see that God had an answer before. You know, these men were alarmed. They were struck with fear. And I understand that within context, what was their fear? They weren't worried about what was going to happen with their eternity. Their fear was the immediate. What's this light? What's this angel? What's going on? It's supposed to be dark outside. It's supposed to be calm. The sheep are supposed to be at rest. We're supposed to be resting and watching as well. What's going on? That was the immediate context. And the angel said, what? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why? Because the answer has been birthed. To us, the answer is born. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come. By the way, what day was that? Well, you don't need to say December 25th. What day was it? The day we're talking about right here, right? When the angels came to the shepherds and said, what? Fear not, for today this Savior is born. There's something that's the answer right here. But when the fullness of time was come, and that's this very day, that's this very moment when these angels come to the shepherds, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might have the adoption of sons. And the angels, the message to them was, fear not. Fear not. Folks, the answer to our fears, your specific fears that I don't know what they are. You come to me and you tell me, Pastor, you know what? My physical situations, Pastor, these difficult, we have decisions to make, and I am the recipient of many of your fears. Some of you choose not to give me those, but many of you do. I know that there are fears out there this morning. Can I tell you? You don't have to worry. The answer to your fear has been born. And I mean that with all of my heart. The answer to your fear is born. Because Jesus is the answer to everything in life. He is the deliverer. He is the Savior. He is the one that has come to deliver you from your struggles. Folks, the answer has been birthed, brought to life, and it's an announcement of hope and help. And the angels showed up that very day. And the shepherds were afraid. And what was the announcement? Fear not. For unto you is born this day. Your answer has come. But I want you to see more. There was more than just the answer being birthed. There was the recipients. Who was the recipient to this? Now, immediately you're going to say who? The shepherds. Well, of course, it was the shepherds. The shepherds got the good news that Jesus was born, and it was to them born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. But I want you to notice back in verse 10, the angel said unto them, okay, who is them? The shepherds, very specific. And the angel said to them, the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And what's the next phrase? Which shall be to all people. Who was the good news for? Every one of us. Yes, immediately in the context, it was the shepherds. Don't be afraid, shepherds. But the angel went on to say, this message that I give to you, the good tidings of great joy, shall be not only to you shepherds, but to all people. Let me ask you a question. Who are all people? All people. Get specific. Me, right? And you. And what was the message? Fear not, because the answer has been born. Make the application where you're at. You see, Pastor, I don't know what we're going to do. Time is going to run out. I don't know what I'm going to do. The money's going to run out. I don't know what I'm going to do. My body's going to run out. My husband's going to run out. My wife's going to run out. Pastor, I don't know what to do. I want to tell you something. The answer's been born. The answer has been born, and it is to you. He's got the answer. He's got the answer for you. He says, which shall be to all people. You know, the initial recipients of this message were the shepherds. I love it when things are given and there's a specific one it's given to, but more people benefit. My children love the fact that we have 5 children in our family because that just means 5 more birthdays. And for that reason alone, they wish we had 10 because they would get to experience another 5 birthdays. They'll have to keep praying about that one. Honestly, we do birthdays big. You might not do anything, but we do. And it didn't come from the Madrid, Wyoming boring side of things. It came from the fry wild, you know, exciting side. Okay? So kids are thankful for the fries. My family, birthday, you know, you wake up, you get a little, you know, very practical gift. And there was nothing wrong with that. Very practical gift. And you go to school and you're on your way. And that's your birthday. We did have a party with others, you know, later. But the birthday was not near what it is. And, you know, traditionally I married my wife and it was like, you woke up in the morning, it was like, we're celebrating the birthday today. This is birthday day, you know, no matter what you're doing. And so, and especially in the younger years, the kids were excited because today means the day of. And as they've gotten older and we have more responsibility, we've not been able to totally sell out to those days like we used to be able to do. But it meant a day of, and they got what? They got special breakfasts, special lunches, special suppers, you know, maybe go out and do this. And it was just, you know, so the more the merrier. You know what? It didn't even have to be my birthday, and I get to experience almost the same amount as my brother did because it's a birthday, okay? And so that's the way it is. It's always a blessing to be one of those. It wasn't specifically for me, but I get to benefit from it. You know what? It's the same thing. You know, we have a birthday and we all get to celebrate together today. And it doesn't matter if it's my birthday. I still get to go out and eat, or I still get to do this fun activity, or we still get to participate with that. I still get this wonderful breakfast, and it's not even my birthday. Can I tell you, when the angel showed up to these shepherds, that was specifically for the shepherds, but you know, we are one of these recipients of this good news to the shepherds. It is for us. It's to all people. The hope is not limited to a few select few people. It's to all people. Look down in verse 14. He says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Who is the goodwill toward? Just the shepherds? No, to all men. To all men that were alive, that would be alive. And that would include us. Keep your fingers here, and I want you to go all the way back to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And let's look at verses 4, 5, and 6. These verses, of course, speaking of Christ and God, both are used in these verses, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. I think I quoted that this morning in Sunday school. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who, Jesus, gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know that the word whosoever and this all men, especially the whosoever, is the same Greek word in all and to all people in both these passages, 1 Timothy and back in Luke chapter 2, to all people, Luke 2 and verse 10, to all people, there's a specific word there. And in John 3:16, whosoever is a specific word, and who will have all men to be saved, and for all, the same Greek word in all of these cases. Who did Jesus come to save? All. Who is the message for to the shepherds to fear not? It's all of us, folks. Every one of us. The message, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't be seized with alarm concerning your situation, concerning your struggle. Why? Because the answer has been birthed, and it is specifically to you. So when the angel said, fear not, it was not only a message to the shepherds, but also to you. We don't need to be afraid. The answer has arrived. I want you thirdly to see the Savior. Who was this answer? Of course, it was the Savior. And given in here, Christ the Lord. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That's the answer. And then after that, he gives us the specifics of who that Savior was. Who was the Savior? That would be Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord, Jesus in the manger, Christ the Lord was to be that Savior. The Savior. That word Savior comes from the Greek word soter, and we get from that, I don't know if you've heard of this in theology, soteriology. That's a study of what? Salvation, soteriology, okay? Soteriology is the study of salvation. This word, the Savior, is from that root word, soter, which means he is the Savior, he is the Saver, he is the salvation. Specifically, that word means deliverance, deliverer. He is the one that has come to deliver you from your fear. You know what? There's a lot of things that he delivers us from. He delivers us from our sin. He delivers us from all kinds of things. But he comes to deliver. And within the word is not just a deliver, it's a preserving word as well. And he preserves that deliverance. It's not a deliverance that just happens once and I need it again and again. It's preserving. He keeps that. It's all hidden in that word, Savior here. Jesus had come to deliver the shepherds along with the rest of the world from their sin, their troubles, and even their fears. And he's come to deliver you from wherever you or whatever you are going through as well. You know, it could be a habit. Some of you, your fear and your struggle are certain things that you can't get over in life. You're living your life on a daily basis and you go and you just cannot shake that habit. Can I tell you, the deliverer has come. And he's come to deliver you from it. There is hope. Why is there hope? Because the deliverer has come. Fear not. Don't be afraid. He has come. It could be from a specific sin. The deliverer has come to help. It could be from a specific fear like we're talking about. And indeed, he has come to deliver from that fear. It could be from a tough situation that you have at work or at home. And indeed, he has come to deliver. And it could be from your sin. My friend, if you're sitting here this morning and you have the weight of sin in your shoulders, knowing and understanding that the wages of sin is death. The next word is what? But. And that represents a Savior, a deliverer. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, when Jesus Christ came that early that morning, when the angel came and announced to the shepherds, fear not, he was announcing the answer to all of life. Deliverance. I've come to deliver. People at Faith Bible Church, I want to tell you something. Your deliverer has come. He's come to deliver you from your struggle. From your struggle. And the answer, fear not. Jesus has come to deliver you. I want you to see lastly the results. The results. What are the results of this Savior coming, not only to the shepherds, but to us, and to realize that He's here today, and I have the hope, I have the answer. What does He say? He says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." But I want you to look back up right after "fear not" in verse 10. He says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you" what? "Good tidings of great joy." And then, of course, that great joy would be to all people. I want you to see the results. Fourthly, are good tidings of great joy. This is good news that brings great joy. You say, "I'm struggling through this." You know what the hope brings to you? Not only deliverance, but joy. You can be joyful today. You can be joyful today because your Savior has already arrived. He's already to come. The answer is already given. You say, "But Pastor, I have decisions to make, and I don't know what it is." I can tell you what. You might not know what it is, but the answer is already here. He's got it. Do you know that Jesus knows everything? God knows everything from the beginning to the end? And do you know that He already knows what's exactly right in your situation? And that's why He can say, "Don't be afraid. Shepherds, don't be afraid. Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, don't be afraid. What you're going through, there's nothing to worry about. Because the Savior has arrived." And the results of that can produce, if we would acknowledge it, great joy. You say, "Pastor, how can I experience great joy today?" Because that's what the good news brings. Excuse me, the reason why we don't is because we're not looking to the good news. We're not looking to the Savior as the result. We're not looking at Him as our answer. We're looking at the answer itself. I need to make a decision by January so-and-so, and I need wisdom on that. And you say, "I don't know the answer." It kind of reminds me of the word peace. What does peace mean? Peace. You know, we refer to peace, and in fact, peace is all over walls and signs and peace, right? Peace. What is it? What did Isaiah tell us in chapter 9 of and verse 6 of his book? What did he tell us? What were the last things? He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I think that's tremendous. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. What is peace? Peace is not knowing the answer and still resting. Did you catch that? Peace is not necessarily knowing the answer, but resting. And what are you resting in? The baby in the manger. He has come. He's here. You see, that was a tremendous announcement that morning. That early morning in the middle of that night or whatever, it's dark outside. And, you know, was it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning, whatever it was. And all of a sudden, the light shone. The glory of God was upon them. And they were sore afraid. And the angels said, He said, "Listen, fear not, shepherds, because the answer has been birthed. And it's not just for you, it's for everybody. It's a Savior, it's a Deliverer, it's one that will bring peace. And the result will be true joy and peace." There's peace. Listen, He has come and you don't need to be afraid. Can I tell you that as we see the baby in the manger, as we worship Christ the Lord, whatever you're going through, see, this is so practical, whatever you're going through. Again, some of you have surgeries coming up, procedures coming up. Some of you have again, physical things that you're going through and you're struggling with. Some of you have decisions that need to be made in the next few days, weeks, months, whatever it is. Some of you have difficult things, you know, and all of our lives and all of our fears and all of our struggles and all of our situations, every one of us going through all these things, the message rings out very loudly and clear. Just as that first grader that's practiced that line for 5 weeks, you know, and he gets up and he's going to be the angel. And with a loud booming voice, he says, what? Fear not. The message wasn't just for the shepherds. To you in your struggle, in your toil and turmoil, in your difficult situation, whatever it is, fear not. Fear not. For behold, I bring you. You take it specifically as I read this. Fear not, sir. Fear not, ma'am. Fear not, child. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. God, I want to thank you so much. No matter what we're going through, we can rest and know my answer has already arrived. Already arrived 2,000 years ago. Peace has come. The Prince of Peace. And Lord, we don't know exactly what the answer is in the application of our physical struggles. We don't know what it is in the social struggles that we have with people. We don't know maybe what the financial struggles, how they'll be resolved. We don't know how the habit or the spiritual issue in our life will be solved. We don't know it all, but we can rest and trust and have peace in you because the Prince of Peace has come. And it's been announced that we don't need to be afraid. God, would you help us? Would you help us today to walk out with good tidings of great joy, which is to all people. There's great joy. We have peace today. And that we don't need to be alarmed because God has already taken care of it. God has already taken care of it. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. God, thank you so much for this great gift of peace that you've brought to all men. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.